drove past old forgotten places on the other side of the mountain. The sun was brighter as it shone upon things rusty and intriguingly decayed, overgrown in the pastures and meadows where the seeds of chaos had been sown. Chaos like a memory, you don't know if it's yours.
Hello everyone, welcome back to this 10th episode of the Chattanooga Locavore Podcast. I'm your host Sean Schuster of White Ivy Farm, and I know that I said last week that I wasn't going to record this week, but, got a lot done, I'm feeling better, and we got an interview, so that's always an exciting thing. I did the interview a couple days ago, and I figured, I can't just let this one sit another week. So I wanted to sit down, record a little bit, and talk about, talk about what it's all about. This interview is with Eric Taslimi and Rob Peterson of the Chattanooga Food Ventures, which essentially they are a caterer, but they're like a fine cuisine caterer. And the greatest part and the part most pertaining to us is the fact that they use local ingredients. They use, a couple different farms in the area, Cloudcrest, Circle S, Crabtree, and they use these local ingredients to make the food that much better. And so we talk about that. We talk about, what local means to them, how they determine what they buy locally, how they determine how it's grown, if they worry about organic or certified naturally grown, things like that. And we also talk about just the difference it makes, serving local food as opposed to, buying from a big name vendor. So that's a great interview. I'll play that a little bit later. One thing I wanted to talk about too is I'm very happy to say that I'm now a columnist over at Nooga.com. And this is just a once a month column. And it's called the Farm Stand. I figured that was kind of a double meaning to that name. Of course you have the Farm Stand, like a farm market table, but you also have the stand, like the stand we take as farmers. And so it's going to address a lot of important issues for local food. And if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you probably hear a lot of the things that I'm going to say, but that's not to say I don't want you to go read that column, because I'm able to articulate a little bit better, I think, in words. That's my full-time job during the day. In addition to being a farmer, I'm also a writer for AOL, so that's that's where that comes in. But definitely check that out. The first installment came out on Saturday, so it will be the first Saturday of each month is when the next one will come out. And so you can look for that. And I will have a link to that in the show notes so you can check that out and give it a read. One other thing I wanted to talk about, my wife showed me this link to this, what I found is pretty interesting. It's called Strolling of the Heifers. It's a locavore index by Strolling of the Heifers. Now, Strolling of the Heifers is a Vermont-based nonprofit, kind of like our Gaining Ground. How Gaining Ground is an initiative that serves the Chattanooga community for promoting local food. That's pretty much what Strolling of the Heifers does in Vermont. So they compiled a list of each state, all 50 states plus the District of Columbia, and they rank them according to their locavore index. And what this essentially means is they took three factors into consideration. There was farmers markets, 45% of farmers market influence added to the weight of that score, and then 45% of the CSA influence of that state added to the score, and then the remaining 10% was food hubs. What are the food hubs like in that state? So they took these three factors, put them together, and came up with this ranking system for all 50 states and the District of Columbia. And so as it pertains to us, Tennessee is number 40. Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, out of 51, 40 is really bad, but Georgia is worse at 43, and then Alabama is 35. So here in our area, that doesn't say a lot for us. Now, of course, Tennessee, you look at Tennessee as number 40, there's a lot more to Tennessee than just Chattanooga, of course. You have Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis, and being the other three big cities, so you have to look at how they're doing, and of course, on this list, the top three are in New England, Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire, and then you have North Dakota, Iowa, those round out the top five. So it's one of those things where this is a pretty easy sell to try to spread the word about getting more people into locavorism. You know, it's not a negative thing. It's a pretty positive thing. You know, you go to people and you say, hey, do you know about local buying local produce? Do you know the benefits of this? And you kind of spread the word. And you know, if we do that, we can get Tennessee higher up on that rank. And I think that's an important thing because we want to be known. You know, Chattanooga is a wonderful area for this type of thing, but it's just one little tiny bit of Tennessee and you know, fourth largest city, and I believe it's still fourth largest city. So we have a ways to go, essentially. All right, well, let me get right into this interview where we can talk more about local food with the folks over at Chattanooga Food Ventures. So here you go. All right, I am back here with two gentlemen from Chattanooga Food Ventures. We have Chef Eric Teslimi and Rob Peterson. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show. I'm very excited to talk to you because this is kind of it's an exciting venture you have, pardon the pun, Chattanooga Food Ventures. It's essentially a way to bring fine cuisine to kind of a catered atmosphere, is that right?
Yeah, that's kind of the niche we wanted to kind of fall into when we decided to go into the catering world. We were just trying to figure out what wasn't being served here. So we figured, you know, something in that arena using local seasonal produce with a kind of restaurant quality experience.
Mm-hmm. And you have several years of experience as a chef, is that right?
Yeah, I started cooking when I was 17, and really never stopped through school, and ended up in Chattanooga, you know, was from here, but finally made my way back in 2004 and was sous chef at Bellagio and then sous chef at Table 2 and then became the executive chef there for about 4 years before we shut the doors.
So how did Chattanooga Food Ventures start? Walk me through the process of getting that started.
So as the restaurant closed down, where Rob Peterson comes into it, he did the wine program at Table 2, and we became friends through that experience, putting menus together, wine programs. He would bring down winemakers from Napa and so on. So we started having a relationship that way and became friends. And as the restaurant closed, we started looking into options of, you know, what to do next. We knew we worked well together, so we thought, let's do something. We threw around a bunch of ideas, restaurants, gastropubs. And as that was happening, people would call us, farms would call us and say, hey, I've got somebody that's wanting to do an event. I know you guys aren't, you know, in the restaurant. They want to use local product, doing a wedding, doing a whatever it may be. So we did a couple of those things, and after a while, we just said, you know, I think there's a business here. There's a demand here for that. So,
yeah, I think if I can pipe in my two cents, you know, what we saw, you know, not only with working in the restaurant and just seeing the quality level of food, once you get outside of the, you know, finer restaurants in Chattanooga, it's tough to do anything catering wise and get that level. And I think that's where we saw, hey, you know, we could bring this level not only to the home and chef prepared meals and wine dinners at people's homes, but even, you know, corporate lunches, meetings and things. So that's, you know, and then involving all the local farmers and all the produce that's available here in Chattanooga really opened the doors, because now we're finding that that's what people are calling us about is, so I hear you guys do only local. I hear you guys do this. I mean, it's not only that we do it. We prefer to do it when it's, you know, it's appropriate. I mean, some things are out of season, obviously, at some point in time, but when we can and when our customers, you know, dictate that and want that and are willing to pay for that, then we certainly do use it.
So do you find that the local food is, you know, the taste is better, it's fresher, all of that?
I do. You know, we just don't use local for local's sake. I just really think Chattanooga happens to have really great farmers and great product on top of it. So, you know, if it was just local and mediocre, then we wouldn't use it. But it just happens that Chattanooga has, you know, with Cloudcrest Farms, I think he grows the best pig I've ever tasted anywhere. And I've, you know, being in the industry, I've ordered bought pigs from all over the country. Signal Mountain Farms, best heirloom tomatoes you can get anywhere. Crabtree with their products. I think we've got great artisans here. So besides being local, it just happens that it's some of the best product we can get. So that's kind of the angle we kind of go at.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, do you visit the farms you use?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know, we started dealing with the farms in the restaurant, so we've been there. We do, you know, the 100-mile dinner at Crabtree. Jim, we go out to his farm a lot, you know, just go out, hang out, have dinner. You know, these people have really become friends with us. So, I enjoy going out and seeing what they're doing, how they're doing it. And, so that's another great thing about the local. You know, we just get to see the whole process from beginning to end if we wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Do you usually set it up where you buy from, like, the farmers markets where they sell, or do you pretty much go one-on-one with these farms?
Little bit of both. So we usually will go down to the market every Wednesday, and they know us. They know we're a catering business, and they've been great with dealing with us in terms of, you know, business to business. And with Jim and the meat, we usually, you know, we've got to the point where they deliver to our kitchen. The farms would do the same thing, but a lot of times we just enjoy going down and seeing what everyone's got to offer. So it all depends on the size of the event we're doing.
Yeah.
Now, does your menu change often because of the seasonality of the produce that you get?
Yes.
Yeah. And truly, Shawnee, you know, when you say menu, if you take a peek at our website ever, you know, we don't really put down preset menus, and we're not your typical caterer that puts down, hey, for this type of buffet, you know, we really customize each and every event. When people call us and say they want to do a lunch, you know, we start out with, you know, the fact finding, you know, what's the theme, what type of proteins you want to use, and we customize almost every menu that we do, especially the ones that we do, you know, at the home when we pair wines and we do a big 5-course wine match dinner. You know, we literally will design that around the taste of the customer.
And what's available.
And what's available. So it's a balance between both, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I think customization is such a big thing these days, you know, in any kind of industry. And I think that that's good that you guys are so flexible to offer that. That it seems like a really big advantage on your side.
We thought that's what was missing. You know, I think there's plenty of caterers out there that can
provide, you know, barbecue. And that's fine. I mean, we don't want to, you know, we're not going to make ribs in the quantities and qualities that Sugars and Sticky Fingers is going to make. That's our niche, and we're not, indeed, not, you know, professing that we're out there making, you know, ribs for 400 people. So we do a much smaller base, more niche, local product.
Yeah. Do you look for any kind of certain certification from these farms, like a certified organic or certified naturally grown or anything?
You know, the certified organic, that's a really a tough one for the local guys. I think, you know, as we look for them to, you know, to grow their animals humanely, not to use any chemicals, but they don't have to. I think pretty much that point, I know trying to be organic can be very difficult for the certified organic be really difficult.
And costly.
And I guess I meant that in terms of costly when I say difficult for these guys. Like I said, we've gotten to know these guys, and I know that they're conscious of what they're putting in their food because they're eating it, their family's eating it. their friends and neighbors are eating it, and they're taking care of their animals and they're treating them with respect. And I think pretty much there, if we can, if it's organic, great. If it's not, that's fine with us too in terms of certified.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because it's more about the trust. You know, even on your website, you put that these are your friends. You know, your friend farms, and it's not so much about, you know, what's the bottom line you can give me, what's the cheapest price you can give me, but it seems like it's more about, you know, we trust these guys. And like you said, they feed this stuff to their families. So I think that's a really good distinction.
Yep.
All right. Well, if someone wanted to get in contact with you for an event, what would they need to do?
Best way to do it is to either call either one of us or email us. We've got our emails and phone numbers available, and that's the best way to get one of us and to start the process, start the dialogue of putting together an event.
Great, and I will put the information on the show notes for today so people can click on that and check it out. And you have a Facebook page. Do you have a Twitter?
We don't have a Twitter yet.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to get the social media down. We do see ourselves doing that. Our Facebook page is live, and we post a lot of stuff and pictures from events. I think there are some new ones on there from an event we did on Friday. So yeah, we try. We know that that's where a lot of people go to get info, and we're trying to keep up with that.
Yeah, it can be tough sometimes, but that's good to hear. Well, thanks guys. Thanks again for coming on the show. I will put the information on the show notes so anyone can go on there and check it out if they want to, get in touch with you. But I appreciate it.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So there you have it. I want to thank those guys for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun talking to them about local issues, local food issues. And I just want to, throw out a little reminder here. We have some farmers markets opening, not this weekend, but next weekend. And I will mention again in the next show. But we have Trenton Farmers Market, where my wife Sarah and I sell. That's in Trenton, Georgia. Just look for White Ivy Farm. We're right there. We're selling eggs and all kinds of good stuff. I make birdhouse gourds and, all that good stuff. And then we have on the next day, the 21st, is the opening of the Chattanooga Market. And that will be a pretty big event. I know I talked about it before, but it will have the Chattanooga Symphony Orchestra there. And, it's always a lot of fun when the market opens. It's always so packed. It's so busy over there. So you can look forward to those in the coming weeks. And then, of course, throughout the rest of April and into May, we have all the rest of the farmers markets that don't already run, year-round. The rest of them will be opening up. So it's a pretty exciting time for local food, definitely. If you have any feedback for me, for the show, even for the farm or for the new column that I write, you can email me at show@chattanoogalocavore.com. You can also check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. On Facebook, you can do a search, or you can find it on our website. There's a link to it there, as well as our Twitter account. And the theme song this time is Forgotten Places by the New Empires. If you like what you hear, check them out on the website as well. I have a link to their website there, and you can go check out more of their music. So I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, this is Sean Schuster signing off. So we try, we try, we try.